Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Mr. Gins, thanks!
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, December 2nd, 2019. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Bill Bank Green. Bank, what a game it was for the Buckeyes. 56-27 over Michigan. I mean, it was an absolute mauling. I can't get enough of it, man. I've rewatched the game now 3 times in addition to watching it live. So I've watched it 4 times in all. I just can't get enough of it. What a show by the Buckeyes and Ryan Day and the whole coaching staff and the players, just what a game.
Yeah, total domination, and that's, really not supposed to happen in a rivalry game. You know, it's supposed to be a game where teams fight it to the end, and 2 years in a row now where Michigan has not fought to the end, I wouldn't say. You know, you almost hate to accuse people of laying down or quitting or whatever, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, it seems like, they come out fired up, they hang for a half, the tide starts to turn in the second half, and they just don't have the ability the past couple of years to dig your heels in and battle. You know, I mean, the Ohio State roster is more talented than the Michigan roster, but I don't think they're 30 points more talented. And I think there's a problem there with Harbaugh that, before you can turn around a rivalry, you've got to be competitive, and we saw a couple years there where, it took Ohio State right to the wire and you lose on a, an overtime or something. Yeah, that's acceptable, but to get murdered on your field by 30 points, that to me is unacceptable. And, I think there's a failing there. They've got a thing when they come in to play Ohio State. I think they don't really think they can win. And I think it shows in how they play and how they basically quit when the tide goes against them. So it's going to be hard to get this turned around for them. I mean, cause it's like piling bricks and they start stacking pretty high after a while. And I don't know what Jim Harbaugh can do to turn it around. Cause to expect that they're going to recruit a more talented roster than Ohio State, that's not feasible for Michigan or Penn State. You try to come as close as you can talent wise, and then you've got to, you've got to coach your team up. You've got to have them prepared. You've got to have a great game plan. And we've seen Penn State do this. Penn State rock and rolls with Ohio State every year with probably a roster not as good, but Michigan's got, you can't get killed by 30 in the game. It's just my bottom line.
What's amazing to me, Bank, is if we step away from it and just take a look at it, Jim Harbaugh is 0-5 against Ohio State. As you mentioned, he had the game in 16 where he was competitive, the double overtime game. The other games have either been blowouts or Ohio State pulled away in 2017. That wasn't a blowout, but they end up winning by 11. He's 0-5 against Ohio State. He has not had a season where he's had less than three losses every year. One season he was 8-5, and he's in no danger of losing his job. Think about that for a second. 0-5 against Ohio State, everything else I mentioned, and I don't think there's any danger of him losing his job.
No, and I don't think he should be. You know, if you look in college football, if you have a successful head coach, and I think 10-2 is success, or 9-3, I mean, it's not horrible. But, I mean, if you make the wrong move, you can end up being Tennessee real quick, or Miami, or, you know, USC. You know, winning 9 games might not be, you know, awesome, but, man, you start going to 4-8 with the wrong guy, and you'll long for the days of Jim Harbaugh. So I think, you know, I don't think he is in danger of losing his job. I don't think he should be, but, you know, I think they're going to maybe put pressure on him, you know, with Don Brown. You know, the loyalty to Don Brown, you know, I think that probably, that party's probably going to end after this loss to Ohio State. You know, I mean, you can't be giving up 50 points, you know, in a game like this. You just can't. So I think they'll stick with Harbaugh. I think they should stick with Harbaugh. But, you know, it's just they're almost in a catch-22 situation. Ohio State went through this with John Cooper. John Cooper's a Hall of Fame coach, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But you just knew you weren't going to beat Michigan with him as your head coach. He did just enough not to get fired, but not enough to put you where you really wanted to be. And that's kind of where Michigan is right now.
Yeah, and just like Cooper, I mean, Harbaugh can't win bowl games either. You know, Cooper, some people will say, well, Cooper was great, but he just couldn't beat Michigan. Well, he couldn't win bowl games either. Cooper was 3-8 in bowl games. And a lot of them weren't even, like, top bowl games. He was getting beat by Air Force in bowl games. And, oh, goodness gracious, don't even get me started on Cooper. You know, I do want to get to the good things about Ohio State. One more thing about Harbaugh. I think my theory on a big reason why he's struggling is, and you're as close to this as anybody, we all know that the lifeblood of every college football program is recruiting. And specifically for Michigan, the lifeblood of their recruiting has been recruiting the state of Ohio. If you go back to the glory years with Bo, even Lloyd, I mean, Charles Woodson's from Fremont, Ohio. You know, Desmond Howard's from Ohio. Elvis Gerbach's from Ohio. We can go on and on and on and on about players from Ohio that starred at Michigan and led Michigan to wins over Ohio State and led Michigan to big things. I look at Harbaugh, and he's got 24 commitments in his 2020 class bank, and he's got zero from Ohio. And I know he got Nolan Rumler last year, who was a big four-star recruit. Nolan Rumler has deep ties to Michigan through his family. I don't want to say I don't count that. I mean, you still count it. It counts. But that's like the biggest recruit he's landed from Ohio. And this year he's got zero out of 24. I mean, you go back and watch some of those games in the 70s, they're introducing the guys. This is before my time, but I like going back and watching the old games, you know, when Archie was playing, and they introduce the guys as they're running out there individually. Half of Michigan's team are Morris from Ohio. It's just crazy. And now zero in their 2020 class. What is Harbaugh doing, Bank, when it comes to Ohio recruiting? And do you think that's a big reason why they're failing up there?
Well, I think, you know, they try, but, you know, when you look at Ohio the past couple of years, there have really only been, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 guys that would be considered by both schools, and Ohio State's locking them up. Ohio State's getting who they want. And then Michigan is left with, well, gee, if we're going to recruit Ohio, we're going to be recruiting, you know, guys that Ohio State would never want. So that's kind of their catch-22. And then if you look at the class coming up, the 2021 class, they would love to have Jack Sawyer. They would love to have Ben Chrisman. They'd love to have Reed Carrico. They do have, you know, a good shot at getting Corey Kiner, but I think that, you know, where I had that is 100% in their, you know, in their favor a couple months ago. Now that percentage keeps dwindling, and now I'm to the point where I think Ohio State's in better shape. You know, they have no chance at Jaden Ballard. They had no chance for Lorenzo Styles. You know, they want to, but boy, once you get blitzed on the high quality guys, then you're looking at guys, you know, you're looking at the Michigan State and Kentucky level guys then. So I don't know if that's the answer either. You know, the answer was to get those names you mentioned. Yeah, you get another Charles Woodson, they'll take that kid out of Ohio if he exists. But they just, you know, the fence was put up and by Tressel, and it continued through Urban, and Ryan Day is doing the same thing, and they can't break through for the top kids in Ohio.
All right, enough of me making fun of Michigan, at least for the next 2 minutes. let's focus on Ohio State. Let's go right in your wheelhouse again. The offensive line. Talk about, you know, I started the show off saying this was a mauling, and it starts right up front, as we all know. This game was going to be won in the trenches. This game was going to be won by who was able to run the ball better. Well, it was Ohio State by a mile. I mean, they were just this Ohio State offensive line. And Michigan does have an undersized D line, but still, this Ohio State offensive line was just crushing them all day long, and it was so much fun to watch. I'm sure you're just kicking back and just loving watching that, Bank.
Well, I like O-line play, and I thought the Ohio State O-line did really a continuation of what they've done all year. You know, they have mashed the ball. Dobbins has had a great year, but, you know, if you look at Dobbins this year and Dobbins last year, I think he's in better shape this year. But, I mean, the difference for him is last year, Prince and Pridgen and those guys, they were not physical. They were not run blockers at all. You know, they were good in pass protection. But this team just kills people in the running game, and especially that interior group of Myers and Jackson and Wyatt Davis. You know, they are a handful. And like you said, I mean, the interior of the Michigan line, very small and not very good. And kind of soft, and they've taken those DNs and try to make them into D tackles, trying to rely on their quickness, and well, they just got pounded. So, you know, that was game over. You know, but I did think the Michigan offensive line played really well in the game, and I think Michigan could have run the ball more. They just didn't choose to. They gave up on it. Not that they ever really. I don't think they thought they could run the ball. But if you look at Hassan Haskins, you know, he averaged close to 6 yards a carry. He just only carried the ball 12 times. So I don't think they felt going in that they could run the ball, so they never tried. But Ohio State knew they were going to run the ball. They knew, you know, they could really physically manhandle Michigan at the point of attack, and that's what they did.
Ryan Day after the game was emotional. It was so cool to see. I mean, he didn't even shed a tear, but you could tell he was fighting it back when he was interviewed right on the field by Jenny Taft. And, again, I mean, I've rewatched the game like 3 times, so I've rewatched the Ryan Day part probably about 6 times, just, you know, rewinding it, and just how he just, man, I know he's originally from New Hampshire, but he just bleeds scarlet and gray now, there's no doubt. I mean, to say he gets it is an understatement. I mean, he gets it in spades, and he is a just a hell of a head coach. You look what he did with his staff, the way he revamped the staff, what he's doing in recruiting, how he keeps his team laser focused, the job he does as a play caller. I mean, it's everything across the board, Bank. The way he handles the media, which I'm sure fans couldn't care less about that, but I think that is a, you know, somewhat important part of the job. He just checks all the boxes, and I just, you know, it's almost just stunning. When it's not almost stunning, it's stunning to think the Buckeyes have had the success of Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer, and now Ryan Day. I mean, three, I'll say it. I mean, Ryan Day, I think, is going to go down as a legend. Is it too early to say it? Probably, but I'll be shocked if he doesn't end up being a legend in this game. And just the Buckeyes are so fortunate to have him. And like I said, it just seems like Bank, he crosses every box you can think of.
Well, he is a really genuinely good guy. You know what I mean? And I don't think you know, I will watch what I say here, but I don't think we say that about every top head coach across the board in college and the NFL. Ryan Day is a really good guy. Can't say I know him well. When he was first hired at Ohio State, he came to Maslin for Maslin had a workout there, that, and they invited all college coaches to come in. And there were a lot of college coaches there. And I was able to just, you know, shake the guy's hand and just make small talk for a few minutes, and you came away really feeling like just a really good guy, a guy you want to be around. And I'm sure that translates to recruits and parents and assistant coaches and players. And you can just tell he's a good guy, you know, and in this profession, it's not always the case, you know, to be a top head coach, there's got to be a little bit of, I don't want to use the wrong word here. I'm trying to think of a word we can use on your podcast. You got to be a little bit of a jerk sometimes. And I don't think that he is. I don't think he's a pushover by any means. And I think he's, you know, you cross him, you're going to pay the price. But I don't think he's a jerk just for the sake of being a jerk. And I think some head coaches are. He's a good guy.
Bank, I should have told you this. We have no FCC regulations at all, as Matt Baxendale has proven many times on this show. We have gotten fined probably a million times if cussing on the Morning Five was – was not allowed. So if you want to drop a cuss word every once in a while for effect, it's perfectly fine. Let's look at the Ohio State-Wisconsin rematch. You know, I'll be candid. I was hoping – I was rooting for Minnesota just because I wanted to see some fresh blood, not just for this year because obviously Ohio State and Wisconsin played and Ohio State won 38-7, but this will now be the third time Ohio State's played Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, which has only even existed since 2011. So I wanted Minnesota, but we're getting Wisconsin. Your thoughts on this rematch?
Yeah, I don't see how it can be any different. And I said this the last time Ohio State played Wisconsin. I think Ohio State can match Wisconsin player for player across the O-line and D-line. In fact, Ohio State is probably better player for player in line play. And then when you go athlete on athlete, it's not even close. So I don't know how it could be any different. You know, to beat this Ohio State team, you have to be able to throw the football on them. You are not going to line up and play Wisconsin football and beat Ohio State. I don't see how this is different this week unless Ohio State, you know, gets fumbleitis again like they did against Penn State. But I don't see a path for Wisconsin. Just their style of play is not conducive to lining up and beating Ohio State. I don't know how, you know, you can't beat Ohio State in a 17-16 game, and that's really what Wisconsin wants to play. Well, it's not going to happen. You can't hold this offense to 16 or 17 or 18. So then you're looking at a game where you know Ohio State is going to get their 30 to 35. How are you going to find a way to get 30 to 35 when you cannot throw the football? You know, I'm sure Wisconsin would much rather play the old Ohio State teams with JT Barrett, when then it becomes more of a who's going to run the ball better, because neither of you can throw it worth a darn. Well, when you went to Haskins and now Fields, it tilted the scales now where you're not going to get Ohio State to score in the teens or the low 20s. Those days are over. So, you know, until Wisconsin, you know, goes to recruiting the Justin Fields types where they can have, you know, a big-time passing offense to go along with running the ball, they are not going to be. Well, they, you know, you don't see them in the playoffs as it is now, and they're not going to be. Their style of play is very conducive to, you know, going 10-2, winning the Big Ten West, going to a great bowl game, and that's fine. That's who they are. But to beat Ohio State, if Ohio State doesn't turn it over three or four times, I don't think there's a path for Wisconsin to win the game.
Excellent stuff, as always, from Bill Bank Green. Really appreciate it, Bank, and I appreciate all the listeners out there for tuning into the show. Hope everyone has a great day. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.